108. Lydia. Lydia fought Rufina, kicking and screaming down the corridors, but the corrupted queen only laughed and dragged her onward until they reached a cavernous room with a large throne at one end. But that wasn't what captured Lydia's gaze. It was the circular hole at the center of the space, from which freezing air emanated. Rufina hauled Lydia toward it, and she screamed, panic rising as the woman hung her over the opening, only her grip on Lydia's hair keeping her from plummeting into the endless dark depths. An icy wind blew, making her skin burn, and as she stared down, Lydia swore she could see the corruptor himself staring back at her. Then Rufina hauled her upright, dropping Lydia on the floor. "Someday," she whispered. "But for now, I've need of you." The silence that followed was deafening. Then Rufina said, "The last time I saw Princess Kitaria, she was little more than a babe in her mother's arms, the pair leaping off the balcony of the royal palace into the ocean below. Even with my knife in her back, I knew your mother had survived the fall. The gods have always favored the forlorn family, and no bodies were ever found." Lydia didn't answer, only met her cold stare with one of her own. "I was certain one of Midoriya's had intervened and spirited the pair of you away. But Agrippa tells me that Camilla took you to the far side of the world, to the Celandor Empire." She said the name with relish. "Out of reach of both me and the gods. Is she alive?" "No," Lydia whispered, hate rising from the embers of her anger like curls of smoke. "She bled to death on the street." A soft chuckle exited Rufina's lips. "If she'd stayed, a healer could have saved her, but neither gods nor their marks have power in Celandor, or so Agrippa tells me." Logically, Lydia had known that, but it still hurt that her mother had died to protect her. "He's quite the source of information." "Isn't he just?" Rufina murmured. "He opened my master's eyes to a world of opportunity, for my master looks back at those who gaze into the darkness, whether they know his name or not." "Cassius." Lydia's blood chilled, but she kept the reaction from her face. "Like you did?" "Even so." Rufina sat on the ground in front of her, resting her chin on her knees, watching Lydia. "You want to know why, don't you?"
"I already know why, Cinta." Lydia spit her name. "Because you were jealous and spiteful that my father chose my mother over you. And rather than getting over it like a rational person, you gave yourself to the corruptor in order to have your vengeance."
Rufina smiled. "You make me sound so petty."
"Because you are."
"No. I was just a woman who grew tired of being powerless. Tired of being used." Tilting her head, Rufina added, "Hegiria marked me to save your father's life. Did you know that?" Then she laughed. "Of course you don't." He quelled that story, disliking the thought of anyone's fame eclipsing his own. "But no one knowing it doesn't make it less true." There was a part of Lydia that hated Rufina speaking about her father in such a way. But another part of her was loath to silence her, because this was her story as much as Rufina's, and she rather thought the corrupted queen might be the only one who'd ever give her the whole truth.
"I was the warrior healer who guarded his back and pieced him together whenever he got in too deep, which was often. I was also in his bed for 10 years, which is the only thing anyone remembers about Cinta, if they remember anything at all. She sighed. And I loved him more than life itself, which was my true downfall. How much evil has been done in the name of love? Lydia wondered as she stared at Rufina's flaming eyes. How many people have been hurt? For most of my life, I was his in every possible way. And then one day, he decided it was time to take a wife, to give Mutamora a queen. The flames around her irises softened into a faint red glow. But it wasn't to be me. He needed someone fit to produce heirs, and Hegeria's mark is parasitic. And all my pleas that I'd refrain from healing anyone until a child was born fell on deaf ears because he didn't want to give up my capacity to heal him. Lydia could hear the remembered pain in Rufina's voice, the hurt. Could all but feel the powerlessness she must have felt in that moment. And there was a part of her deep down that understood the woman's choice more than she ever cared to admit. The mark I accepted to save his life was the same mark that made me unfit to be his queen, because it's a mark that takes and takes and takes, but gives nothing in return. Yet there is no power on Wreath that would allow me to get rid of it, so instead I resolved to change it, to make it serve me and protect me and make me strong, and it has delivered in abundance. Strong enough to protect herself. Strong enough to never be hurt by another. Lydia closed her eyes, entranced and terrified by the allure of the woman's words. A knock sounded on the door, and a moment later, one of the corrupted entered, the life around her blazing with unnatural fierceness. "My queen," she said, bowing, "we've urgent need of your presence."
"I'm occupied."
The woman's gaze flicked to Lydia. Then she stepped closer to Rufina, murmuring something she couldn't make out in the woman's ear. But whatever it was, it caused Rufina's eyes to widen in fury.
"That little prick dares to steal from me," she hissed. "I'm going to rip out his heart. You stay here and don't let this one out of your sight."
In a blur, Rufina raced from the room, leaving Lydia alone with the corrupted.
"Agrippa get greedy?"
she asked, her voice hoarse.
"Something like that."
The corrupted moved to lean against the wall.
"And she won't forgive him this time, not now that she's got something better."
"Killian." Lydia's eyes burned because Rufina was going to use her against him. And she knew it would work, knew that if the Queen of Darren did to her what she'd done to Malahai, that he'd agreed to whatever she demanded of him. And maybe at first it would be little things, things that cost him nothing to concede. But well she knew how small concessions led to bigger ones, and how long until Killian stood at the front of Rufina's army as it marched across Mutamora.
It would destroy him.
Tears flooded down her cheeks, her chest so tight that she could barely breathe. Her plan had been to remain to rescue him, but because of that traitorous bastard Agrippa, she'd be damning Killian to something worse than death. And it had been for nothing. Malahai was still a prisoner, and given the terror she'd shown toward Rufina, how much longer would she hold out against the corrupted queen's torture?
"You have to get them out."
But how? The corrupted guard stood only a few paces away, watching her with interest.
Kill her.
The corrupted was stronger than she was, faster than she was, probably far more skilled at combat than she was. How could Lydia possibly get around her?
"Even the odds," the voice whispered. "You know how."
Her mind recoiled at the thought, but her heart lurched, recognizing hope where before there had been none.
"You could make yourself strong enough to save him," You came back from it before. You could do it again. You wouldn't be killing anyone who didn't deserve it. Lydia's pulse throbbed in her throat. A desire that she'd buried deep, rising like a dark tide, washing over her, claiming her, freeing her.
Might I have some water?
She asked softly, piteously.
I'm so very thirsty.
The corrupted eyed her for a moment, then shrugged and went to a table off to the side holding glasses and a pitcher. She returned swiftly with a wine glass filled with crimson liquid.
Rufina's not one for water.
Thank you.
Lydia waited for the corrupted to bend over her, holding out the wine glass.
Closer.
She closed her fingers over the glass and gave the woman a weak smile. Then Lydia jerked her hand up, smashing the glass into the woman's face. The corrupted shrieked, clawing at her eyes, but Lydia was on her in a heartbeat, twisting behind to clamp a hand over her mouth, her legs and other arm wrapped around the woman's body. She could feel the excess of life spilling from the woman. Life stolen from what were probably innocent people. But this creature was not innocent. And neither was she. Digging in her fingers, Lydia pulled.